Last week, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention reported the shocking statistic that the suicide rate in the United States is up by 25% compared with 1999. Now, that announcement was emphasized by the suicides of two high-profile celebrities, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. Why is it that so many of our fellow citizens are in such a hopeless state of mind that they would actually take the action of murdering themselves? Is there anything that can be done? How should we as Christians approach this growing epidemic? This is Jonathan McNair with TW Now. Thank you for being with us today. The guests on our program, I'd like to introduce, first of all, Mr. Wyatt Sisalka. Thank you for being with us. Mr. Sisalka is a regular guest on the program, as those of you who watch would know. And also Mr. Rod McNair, thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Also a regular guest on our program. Now, as we begin, I would like to mention the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. As the title of our TW Now today is Suicidal Nation, Suicidal World. If you are, or someone you know, is even considering something like suicide, or are in any sort of a state of mind that this is a concern, please do make use of this number, 1-800-273-8255. Again, it's 1-800-273-TALK. And there are people who provide 24/7 free confidential support. So we want to mention that right up front, because it's very important that we take this problem seriously. We do here, and it is something that is becoming such a national epidemic that, although it may be awkward and difficult to talk about, it is overwhelming to think about. So want to mention that right away, and also the fact that look, we are not trained in suicide counseling ourselves here. The role of our panelists is largely as ministers, as teachers of God's way of life. But the reality of our modern world is that depression, loneliness, and even suicide are all part of our modern life for so many people in our society. So we highlight the United States today with the suicide of two celebrity personalities, these superstars, you might say. But our country is not alone in this problem. So let's get right to our guests then. Let me ask the question right up front. Why is this a problem in our country? Why, in the most prosperous nation on earth, is this such an epidemic? Gentlemen.
Well, first of all, I think we want to, again, as you said, say from the outset how deeply we care about this issue, how deeply we care about those who suffer from it, those who are touched by it, those who have been affected by it. It's a very, very difficult issue and situation for those who are affected by it. So that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this, because there is hope, and we want to reach out and help. You know, it's interesting when you talk about abundance and about all the things we have. These two very high-profile cases show that, you know, the whole idea that only wealth or beauty or intelligence is going to make us happy, which is really what our society pushes, is a myth. And I think that's something that has been highlighted by cases like this, where there's much more to life than just being a celebrity, their values, their ethics, their relationships, etc. And I think it highlights it.
You know, in preparing for the program, I was noticing one article that talked about that. How many celebrities? What came to mind in even the pictures for the article was Robin Williams, and along with a host of other celebrities, people you think who have everything, who yet have committed suicide. So again, Mr. Cizalka, anything to add to that? Why in our country, in our land of abundance, anything that you want to add to the mix?
why are we having the conversation today, and what are some of the causes? There's a lot of causes. I also want to echo what Mr. Rob McNair said. Why are we having the conversation? We care, and it's a big problem out there in the world. We saw a WHO, WHO statistic. We were talking about it before the program today. 800,000 people a year are committing suicide. That's just a phenomenal, a very sad number. It's the second leading cause of death among 15 to 29-year-olds. Second leading cause of death. So it's something we care about. There's a number of causes for it. We're going to talk about some of those causes, ranging from environmental factors, a lack of belief in a purpose for life. I think religion can play a part in helping, and true religion, the Bible, social media. There's a number of factors. So one of the big things that we talked about before the program was the general devaluation of life. Just in general. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the factors. There's a lot of factors. Environmental, there are medical conditions. As you said, we're not experts. We're not going to claim to be experts on everything. But the devaluation of life itself across the country and around the world is probably a big factor.
Now, some will try to say, well, look, when there's suicide, it's really a medical condition, and it largely has to do with those people who are maybe off their medication, or there's something that has to do with a medical condition. Is that the case? I mean, is that something that's accurate, or especially now, both you gentlemen work with people, with individuals, and we're certainly familiar with people's challenges of life. Is it something that this is a medical condition, or is there more to it than that?
Well, first of all, to answer the question, again, as a part of the picture, we certainly want to, as we're ministers here, we teach people about God's Word, and we also want to acknowledge that there are times when there are medical interventions that are needed, and that certainly is something we don't want to minimize, although we're not talking about that today. But there are times when it's needed. However, to answer your question, off of the CDC website on suicide, they talk about how, and I'll read a quote, mental health conditions are often seen as the cause of suicide, but suicide is rarely caused by any single factor. And they go on and talk about how those related to relationships, to substance abuse, to physical health, to job, to money, to legal issues. There are so many parts of this when suicide is involved that no, it's not just mental illness.
And wouldn't you say that, let's say for our audience even, that this touches on us all for that reason? Because is there any one of us that hasn't struggled with discouragement, with whether it's financial challenges or whether it is even, we see one of the issues that's quoted, I think, on the CD site is separation. I mean, that's a heightening factor. So in that regard, it really, the potential for either facing suicide, horribly to say, or someone we know being in a position of facing suicide is real. What are some other parts of the puzzle, would you say, Mr. Cizalka? Is there something else that you've seen can add to it?
One of the questions that's been asked on social media is, why would wealthy people like Kate Spade or Anthony Bourdain or others take their life? Now, suicide is a worldwide problem. As I mentioned a minute ago, 800,000 people around the world. I've seen other reports that indicate this is from the American Society for the Prevention of Suicide, that for every person who commits suicide, there's probably 11 people who have inflicted self-harm in an attempt to commit suicide, or maybe they didn't, you know, try 100% or whatever. Thankfully, they weren't successful. So for every one suicide, there's maybe 11 who try. So one of the questions that's come in on social media is, why would wealthy people commit suicide? Why would suicide be prevalent in wealthy countries, in well-to-do countries? I don't want to get too much into, high school psychology, but we were talking about, I brought up Maslow's hierarchical needs. And for those who remember this from your junior high psychology class, your high school psychology class, in my mind, there's a real connection here, and I think it gets to what Satan is doing in the world, which we can talk about later, how Satan is taking away fulfillment and purpose from people. Mm-hmm. But if to remind ourselves, if we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, fundamentally you have the need for safety, just air, food, shelter, sleep, and then you have the need for security, that you're not worried about somebody coming and taking your property or whatever. But then you get up into these more abstract needs, a need for love, a need for self-esteem, recognition from others, and eventually a need for self-actualization. Now, if you look at people like the famous celebrities we mentioned, the experts, which we're not psychologists, right? But the experts who study suicide, what they will say is that people are not feeling fulfilled as relates to the higher level of those needs. Okay, so they're getting their food, they have a roof over their head, including in poorer countries, but they're not feeling a sense of love and belongingness to community. They're not feeling a sense of love and belongingness to church, to neighborhood. They're not getting self-esteem. They don't feel a good sense of self-esteem or recognition from others, and they're not feeling self-actualized. This is not psychobabble. These are needs that people have, and I think that Satan has really done a job on the world where he has made it harder for people to feel connected and fulfilled in those ways. I think the Bible has some answers. We can talk about that later, but that's, you know, why almost all suicides go back to, even for people who are bipolar and so forth, which are real medical conditions, almost all suicides go back to, at some point in that person's day or their month, they don't feel connected, loved, needed, appreciated by others.
How about the rise in suicides for youth? I mean, you'd think young people, their whole life is ahead of them. How about that? Why is that happening to a greater and greater degree if we look at the statistics?
Well, a big one is social media, the proliferation of smartphones especially that are so mobile and so accessible. We find there are studies out that talk about how today around 20 or 22% of teenagers exhibit multiple signs of depression, and there are studies and there are more people coming out and making a direct link to social media, to being on social media. There is one really interesting article that talks about how there was a survey done in the UK where they ranked how teenagers felt after they were on different types of social media. Mm-hmm. And the ones that were the most depressive, interestingly, were the ones that were most relational, like mm-hmm. Snapchat and Instagram, as opposed to YouTube, which did not rank as high. So something's going wrong with the relational side of social media, mm-hmm. that it's not always a positive effect. In fact, that's what the experts are now saying, that there's a systemic negative effect that's being shown.
So the connections are actually destructive as opposed to lifting up and being helpful. The connections that are being made, on the one hand, our world pulls people apart. Our life today, we're more and more separated. But isn't it ironic that the connections we do have can be discouraging and tear us down? Divorce is a big issue. I know one of the statistics I saw that separation actually all the other issues are heightened by separation. So it's this mix of separation and even negative contacts that are part of it. Now, we've talked about it being something here in the United States, being part of the United States atmosphere. Some of the statistics we've talked about deal with the United States. But as we look at the world around us, we see that the number one nation in terms of suicide statistics is Sri Lanka. Here we find it far outpasses. I think the United States is number 38 on the list in terms of how many people commit suicide. And I think the United States has something like 44,000 a year, if I remember correctly, a phenomenal number. I think it's in that ballpark. But again, Sri Lanka is number one. So what does that say about the extent of this problem in our world today? So what does it say about our atmosphere?
You found this research earlier. Switzerland 15.1 suicides per 100,000. Moldova, Swaziland. So those are nations that would rank worse than the United States as far as suicide goes. So it is a global problem. I think that there is a devaluation of the value of life.
Let's talk about that a little bit more. So in other words, it's worldwide.
Right.
It's an atmosphere that goes beyond the United States. And if we want to try to pinpoint an area, we can't talk about all the facets, but let's talk about the devaluation of life. Because as people who believe in the Word of God and God as Creator, the one who created us, that's really important. So I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, talk about that.
So you know, one of the reasons we're talking about this at all, it says in Proverbs 24 verses 11 and 12 that we are to see those who are heading toward death, and we are to hold them back from stumbling to the slaughter, to stumbling toward death. And then God goes on and he says, you know, behold, you know, he who weighs the soul, he who knows the heart, speaking of God, will not hold you guiltless if you don't see those who are stumbling, if you see those who are stumbling and you don't try to encourage them, try to help them, he won't hold you guiltless. So we see this around the world. It's a global problem. And so I was looking up some statistics on euthanasia. There's very few ways to devalue life worse than to euthanize, and it's just amazing. Euthanasia is legal in the Netherlands, Belgium, parts of, I think for some of these countries it's legal nationwide, but for some of them it might just be certain states, right? But the Netherlands, Belgium, Colombia, Luxembourg, Canada, India, assisted suicide is legal in Switzerland, Germany, South Korea, Japan, the United States, states of Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Hawaii, Vermont. I could go down the list. They're working on an assisted suicide law for Australia. In Belgium, it's legal for children to request to be euthanized. They do have restrictions around that. There is no age limit for the children to request that. The Netherlands was the first country to legalize euthanasia and assisted suicide.
So we're making a connection between euthanasia, in other words, someone taking their own life in that way with suicide. We're still talking about the value of life and not placing a high value, even our own life. There are other. What other ways would you connect in the world? I mean, is this an atmospheric issue? This devaluing of life.
Absolutely. I mean, a whole another realm. As he was talking about euthanasia, look at abortion. You know, we look at some ancient cultures that practice human sacrifice, and we're repulsed by it. We're repelled by that, and yet it goes on around the country, in this country, and around the world. Did you know that the abortion is the leading cause of death in this country? Over 900,000 abortions committed this year. That's more than heart disease. That's more than cancer. That's more than, you know, other diseases. Why is there no great outcry and social upheaval because of that? And of course there are many who don't agree with abortion, but why is it allowed around the world? There are 125,000 abortions done each day, every single day, 3,000 every day in this country. And so just like euthanasia, it's clearly there's something wrong. There's some source that is causing us as human beings to see life as not something that's precious and something that is good and something sacred, something that God gave us, but rather to devalue it.
What does this have to do with our relationship with God? What do you think a world that is godless, what bearing does that have to do with this issue of the devaluation of life? Because we believe in God, and yet most of the world that we live in do not believe in the Creator God. Does this have a connection?
Let me make a really quick two really quick comments, and I'll let Rod jump in and add to it and so forth. Just real quickly. Comment number one is that the only hope that we really have is the hope that's provided through God, by God, through our relationship with God, true Christianity. There is hope. Mr. Ames, Richard Ames, a longtime presenter, he's written on this a number of times. And when Kate Spade was reported a few days ago, we put up a document, we linked on our Facebook page to Mr. Ames' article, Seven Keys for Peace of Mind. And we maybe can later touch on some of those keys. So comment number one is hope comes ultimately from God. In Corinthians, you know, God tells us through Paul that he'll give us the power to escape trial. Anything that seems too great for us, he'll give us the power to escape.
I might just make a comment for our audience. By the way, if you're not a regular watcher of our telecast, this upcoming week, the telecast that will be played is Mr. Ames' telecast. And the title is, it has to do with stress. I have
surviving
to look up
stress,
surviving stress.
Like
if you're interested in this topic, look, watch the program because it's helpful. Now, when we talk about this, we're not just talking about you, but we're talking about your ability to help a friend who is in need. I mean, let's face it. We can think of ourselves, but we're also encouraging you and all of us to be on the lookout for those who are showing signs that they are in a downward spiral. So if you're able to help someone else, wonderful. You may save a life. So Mr. Ames' program deals
surviving
with stress. Surviving Stress, I think, is the title. And so don't miss it. I'm sorry.
All right, no, absolutely. So we're not just here to say, God condemns the taking of life. God does condemn the taking of life. Exodus 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. That word murder means don't take a life intentionally, unintentionally. Don't take your own life. That commandment prohibits euthanasia. But we're not just here to remind people of that. We're also here to remind people that God, through the Scripture, through the Bible, does give us keys where we can grow stronger and where He can help us grow stronger. So hopefully we'll get to some of that as well. And I guess I should say one more time, which you did earlier in the program. Sometimes people do need professional counseling. Sure. Yeah. and call the suicide prevention hotline if there's an imminent threat.
Emergency, yeah.
We're not taking away from that at all. But there are answers in a closer relationship with our Creator God through Jesus Christ living in us, through prayer, through bringing our cares and our concerns to Him in prayer. These are practical ways to help people become stronger, more encouraged, overcome depression and so forth.
Because God gives hope, and He gives encouragement. He tells us to treat other people in a way that is courteous, respectful, polite. There's so many principles that actually are interrelational with our God and our neighbor, which enhance our whole state of mind. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, I was just going to say that just as he mentioned that God gives hope, there is and God is real. God is real. Our culture is trying to deny that today, but He is real. He made us. There is also a real being who is trying to steal hope, and he's trying to get people to not have hope, and that's, of course, Satan the devil. And our culture has sort of mythicized him and made it seem like a metaphor for evil. There is a real being who the Bible says is the prince of the power of the air. He broadcasts attitudes. He tries to tear down any hope or any trust that we might have in the Bible and in God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says He is the God of this age. Jesus said in the book of John that He's a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand in the truth. He talks about the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is His modus operandi. And so He tries to tear down any any hope that, people might have, that we might have as human beings. Whereas Christ said, as you mentioned, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. That they might have, that we might humanly have eternal life in His kingdom, but also there are real benefits to following His way right now in our life.
And I don't think it's by accident that we find the social structures that are most important to build people up are being torn apart. The family, the nature of marriage, the relationship between parents and children. I don't think it's an accident that those things are being torn apart now, and we're seeing mankind now struggles with life and coping. And so we're in a world that almost seems to be on a path to committing suicide as a whole.
Right. You know, look, all of us understand that not everything about government is bad. Not everything about every company out there is bad. But what you are talking about is the fact that there's a spirit being behind the scenes. So when we have reports, I don't want to go back to social media and go back to that, but when we have reports that are beyond dispute, all right, here's something from the Rand Corporation. The Rand Corporation is one of the most distinguished think tanks that there is. And the Rand Corporation reported that despite rules banning under 13-year-olds from creating social media accounts, a report by the London School of Economics suggested that 43% of kids ages 9 to 12 have their own social media accounts. And it continues, there's increasing evidence suggesting that the use of social media by young people is having a negative effect on mental health, and there's a dose response relationship between every hour spent on social media and, you know, depression and so forth. Okay, that's just one little example. We as parents, moms, dads, teachers, social media corporations, schools, governments, we need to just accept a dose of reality here. Mm-hmm. That the world, like you said, is heading in a suicidal direction, and yet, you know, we're kind of playing, not we, but it seems like the world's playing its fiddle while Rome burns. Remember the, you know, Nero played his fiddle while Rome burned. And so we have our youth who are being exposed to more negative things on social media. We have parents being removed from their relationship with their children because of schools and different things. And I think we need to ask, who's behind that? And there is a spirit power behind it. Mm-hmm. So as Christians, you know, how do we combat that? But I think we need to recognize where this comes from. And there's a satanic force behind it.
There's a quote from Karl Marx, I believe, that religion is the opiate of the masses. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to, if there are any listeners out there and viewers that see this perhaps later that are confused about the Bible, about why they're here, about what's the purpose of life, mm-hmm. I think we have to challenge some of those things that have become so almost ingrained into our culture and our thinking that, well, religion is just sort of blinding people, just sort of making people feel good, even though it's not based on reality. And I think we have to challenge those people, those thinkers, so-called experts, and say, well, how did they know? Mm-hmm. And we have to look at what does the Bible say, what does God's Word say, and test it for ourselves, mm-hmm. as opposed to just taking on what the culture has spoon-fed us, what in too many cases teachers have, too many cases the media has. But there is a real God in heaven who reveals a way of life that is good, that is hope, that has blessings for now and also in the future.
And God loves people. God loves people. So, you know, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6 that look at the birds of the air, you know, but yet not one of them falls, not a feather drops, that God doesn't know. Your Father feeds them, yet you're of more value than those birds of the air. So anybody out there who's feeling down and depressed, those are real conditions. Mm-hmm. Those are real. Those are real. Right. Those are real conditions. But you have a Father in heaven and Jesus Christ at His right side who are much, much more powerful than any negative thoughts. And if we go to them, and it's, you know, there's, again, we acknowledge that sometimes medical help is needed. But we're not by ourselves alone on this earth. there's a God in heaven who is powerful and who does love us and who does care about us and doesn't want us taking our lives or euthanizing someone else or aborting a helpless preborn child.
So, final comments. We're down to the wire here. Give you each an opportunity to give a final comment. We've acknowledged that this is a problem. This is a huge problem, not just a United States problem, but a world problem, and touched at least on some of the fundamental issues, even the value of life and how our world devalues life in so many ways. What would you say in a 30-second response? What would you say to someone who wants to encourage, wants to be a help to someone that they're worried about, someone who they feel like is in a destructive path? What advice would you give them?
Intervene. Get involved. Relationships are really a key here. As we were talking about this article by a lady in the LA Times, Amy Newlove Schroeder, how she benefited from someone who intervened in her life. We see the example of the Good Samaritan that Christ gave. That there was this story of someone who needed help, and most people turned and went away, didn't notice, didn't help, but the Samaritan was willing to. So those who we can help, those who we have relationships with, we need to be aware, we need to care, and we need to not be afraid of intervening, even if they might feel like bugged by us. It might save a life.
Taking responsibility, in a sense, almost sounds like love your neighbor, doesn't it?
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Wyatt?
I would agree and just add. I would like to reference Mr. Ames' article, Seven Keys to Peace of Mind. And if you are feeling down or you're aware of somebody who's feeling down, as Mr. Rob McNair mentioned, intervene. And then key number two, pray about it. Go to God regarding your own problems, or intercede for your friend and let your friend know that you care about them, you love them, and let your friend know you're praying about it. That's key number two, Seven Keys for Peace of Mind. You can find it on the Tomorrow's World website. And then I would like to mention key number seven, claim God's promises. God does promise that His Spirit is the spirit of a sound mind. There's promise in Psalm 119, 165, that great peace have those who love God's law. Claim those promises. You can overcome depression. It might be a long, hard road. You might need help, but intercede for your friend. Pray for your friend. Let them know you care. And claim those promises that God can also provide you strength to overcome.
Thanks, Wyatt. Thanks, Rod. Again, thank you. A big thanks to our guests, Mr. Wyatt Cieselka and Mr. Rod McNair, for being with us here today. And one final plug for Mr. Ames' telecast that is, I understand, is actually already up on the website. The title is Surviving Stress, presented by Mr. Richard Ames. So take a look at it. And it may be of encouragement, perhaps even for you to intervene and to help somebody else, and that's worthwhile. If you can be able to help and help a friend and help them to stop a downward spiral, then what a wonderful blessing you can be to them. Thanks for being with us here this week on the TW Now, and we look forward to being with you next week. So again, thanks, and have a good afternoon.